Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leading Britain's conversation, LBC, with Nick Abbott.
Off we go to Washington, D.C., where Simon Marks is waiting. He is LBC's U.S. correspondent. Hello, Simon.
Evening, Nick.
How are you doing?
Very well. I'm still very struck by that caller last night who suggested that now Angela Merkel's got time on her hands. Maybe she could help you out there in the UK. I think she could come over here and help us out over here. Maybe she could split her time between the two.
Yeah, we could use her as some sort of timeshare.
Yeah, exactly. There's a whole business plan there, definitely.
By this time next year, sir, I want you to put that business plan into action. I want you to have it fully funded. By this time next year, we'll be millionaires.
There must be a word in German for it.
A very, very long one, yeah. Now, let's talk this serious incident in Texas. What do we know about that?
Well, we know that the hostages, as you know, were all freed safely as a result of a massive FBI and Marine operation that swung into action at that synagogue on the outskirts of Dallas. And we know that the attacker was killed immediately after, literally seconds after the hostages ran for safety from the building. And as had been rumored throughout the day, he has indeed now been named as a British national, a 44-year-old by the name of Malik Faisal Akram. There are huge number of questions about this assault. Why did it take place in such a peculiar location? I mean, it's a pretty remote place to choose to attack a synagogue. When did he get here? There are reports that he arrived in the United States within the course of the last couple of weeks. According to President Biden, who spoke briefly on the subject earlier, and to be fair, said that he hadn't yet seen completely verified reports, but he said that he'd heard suggestions that Mr. Akram had spent at least one night in a homeless shelter in the Dallas area, had acquired his weapons on the street in some kind of fashion, and then had launched this attack. We now know from UK counterterrorism police that two teenagers have been arrested in the Manchester area as part of the investigation into the attack. I think we can absolutely conclude that phone lines between the US and the UK authorities have been burning ever since it became apparent that it was a British national who was responsible for this. His motive, certainly in the early part of the assault, which was at the time being streamed live on Facebook simply because the synagogue itself, as a result of COVID-19, was streaming its Saturday congregation live on Facebook. He could be heard demanding the release of a woman who was convicted back in 2010 of trying to kill U.S. military officers while she was in custody in Afghanistan. She's now in federal prison serving an 86-year sentence, and she's serving that sentence in Texas, which I suppose might be a reason for the choice of this small suburb just outside Dallas, Colleyville, Texas, as the scene of the attack. But there's going to be an enormous amount of investigative questions to answer. President Biden's holding a news conference here on Wednesday. We haven't had one of those for a while, but he indicated today that he would update reporters about this incident when he speaks on Wednesday. He has branded this an act of terror, so no question about the motivation for all of this, but huge questions about how this man came to find himself in Dallas from Blackburn, and under what circumstances did he acquire fire his weapons, select his target, and launch this assault. So it's been a concerning weekend, certainly for the Jewish community in Dallas and in other parts of the country, and also, you know, raises fresh questions about the easy availability of weapons in the United States, gun control, which didn't advance in any meaningful way in 2021 and doesn't show any meaningful life in the campaign to achieve it in 2022.
Yeah, and how he got into the country in the first place, I suppose people are going to be concerned about that, aren't they? Because it's not America's not very easy to get into for even tourists, is it?
Well, it's not as easy as it was, obviously, because of COVID-19. I mean, now that travel links have been re-established between the US and the UK, you can travel to the United States if you're coming in on a British passport. That, of course, was impossible for many months until just a few weeks ago. But you do still have to get the ESTA, that's that sort of, you know, equivalent of a visa, and you've got to apply for that through the consulate in the UK, through the embassy in London or a consular office. And some of those have not been working at full tilt because of COVID-19. So I think there will be questions about how he managed to secure the documentation necessary to travel to the United States. He will have had to have proved that he was vaccinated in order to board the plane. I think there will be questions about just how much planning went into this, because it isn't the kind of thing you can sort of wake up in Blackburn on a Thursday and decide, right, I'm going to hop on a plane and travel to the US on a Friday. I mean, there is an effort involved in making that journey. And we don't, to be fair, know exactly how long he'd been in the country. I mean, there is this report that he'd come in within the last 2 weeks, but President Biden said he wasn't able to confirm that today.
And on the subject of President Biden, he's had a week, hasn't he?
Oh, I mean, I'll tell you, the measure, there are two yardsticks by which you can judge the last week. One was the publication of the latest Quinnipiac University poll that shows his approval rating down to 33%. Now, many of the president's supporters say that that poll is an outlier, that it has been substantially lower in terms of the president's approval rating than other polls. And, you know, the poll of polls suggests he's in the 37 to 39% range. However, if you look at the Quinnipiac University numbers over the last 7 months, he's dropped 16% in terms of his approval rating over the last 7 months. And that kind of substantially negative direction is indicative of what's happening in other polls, even if his numbers in some of those other polls are still higher. But, I mean, another astonishing yardstick was the publication in the Wall Street Journal last week of an op-ed by two Democratic Party strategists who argued that things are now so bad in the Biden White House that far from Joe Biden running for re-election in 2024 or Kamala Harris fitting the bill as the person who might assume his mantle if he decided to step down after one term, they argued that Hillary Clinton is the person who should be ready to swoop in. I mean, just baffling,
no,
the notion.
No, no,
I mean,
no,
I,
no.
No, I mean, I kind of assume this is all a Hillary Clinton trial balloon more than anything else, just to see how it goes down. But suddenly, the Hillary Clinton name was back on the lips of the chattering classes in Washington, D.C., which gives you a sense of, you know, just how much difficulty they've got at the White House.
So why are his ratings in the toilet then?
Because of a complete failure to deliver. If you look at what took place last week, I mean, first of all, the issue that he was trying to triumph last week was voting rights. Legislation in the Senate that he wants to see passed in the Senate that will roll back many of the efforts Republicans have been making in states all over the country to make it much harder, particularly for black and brown voters, to participate in elections. And the Democrats argue that that is an effort to disenfranchise minority voters who in very large numbers traditionally back Democratic Party candidates. So there are these two pieces of legislation on Capitol Hill, but he can't get them passed because, of course, the Senate is a 50-50 Senate split evenly between the two parties. And to get this kind of legislation through, he's got to win 60 of the available 100 votes. Now, without dwelling on the minutiae of this, which leads your eyes just to completely glaze over, what he proposed doing was exempting these voting rights bills from the need to get 60 votes, and instead he said, let's pass them by a simple majority. I mean, it is bizarre that the United States Senate operates like this. You know, you can get a law passed in the House of Commons with a majority of one, but you can't in the U.S. Senate. So he said, let's exempt it from this 60 vote threshold and do it on a simple majority. Well, in order to do that, he had to have a simple majority in favor of the rule change, and two of his own Democrats turned around and said, we don't support that. We're not making that rule change. We think this voting rights legislation is important, but we don't believe you should do away with the 60 vote threshold, even if it's just for these two bills. So that knocked him back to square one and infuriated to an even greater degree African-American community leaders, civil rights leaders all over the country, some of whom boycotted his speech in Atlanta last week when he tried to really gin all this up, because they say he should have been addressing this issue much earlier in his presidency. They believe it is fundamental to the threat to American democracy that the Republicans pose, and also the threat to disenfranchise substantial numbers of black voters in the United States. Mm. So there's a just an extraordinary piece today in the New York Times by a bishop with the AME Church, which is one of the really influential churches in the African-American community here, excoriating Biden and Harris and saying that for months, church leaders, faith leaders have been trying to get the White House to focus on this. Calls weren't being returned, speeches weren't being made, no attention was being paid to it. So for them, the complete absence of delivery on an issue that is really important to grassroots Democrats is very, very disarming to a number of Democrat supporters. You talk to young voters here. They're furious that Joe Biden hasn't done anything to alleviate student debt. We've got inflation now at a 40-year high. His Build Back Better spending plan is still stuck in Congress again because of divisions within the Democratic Party. It's winter, it's cold, everybody's got COVID. Yeah. It's just pretty grim, right. And that's translating into disastrous polling numbers.
Well, it does seem a little bit unfair, though. I mean, that what you've described isn't necessarily his fault. It's just the screwed-up system that you have in America. But, of course, there's one man who's going to be absolutely loving this, and that is Donald Trump, who is out on his doing his demented yeehaw rallies. This is the last one in Arizona, but even he isn't getting the sort of reaction that he is used to.
No, he ran into a bit of trouble this week, and it's the second time it's happened in a couple of months. But this week, he was giving an interview to one of the propaganda channels that he talks to here. And he's stuck between a rock and a hard place, because on the one hand, he wants to claim credit for the vaccines against COVID-19. He says they were developed at record speed at his direction. I mean, sometimes he's even sort of hinted that he personally was somehow involved in making these, creating these vaccines. But he is, of course, the leader of a group of conspiracy theorists that in very large measure have rejected the vaccines. So in an interview this week, as he was talking about his achievements in terms of getting these vaccines out there, he rounded on some Republicans whom he described as gutless for refusing to publicly state whether or not they had received the vaccine. And that was read as a real slap at Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, a potential runner in the race for the Republican Party's presidential nomination in 2024. Because he, when he's asked whether he's had the vaccine, says, well, that's my private personal health information. I'm not disclosing that to you. Mm. And it was specifically that approach that Trump described as gutless. But of course, there's lots of Republicans out there, many of them in Congress, who answer that question the same way. So this has caused some degree of difficulty for Trump, who suddenly appeared to be insufficiently extreme for the people that are following him. So it was notable that at his rally in Arizona last night, he didn't repeat any of those claims. Instead, he wanted to talk about Joe Biden's vaccine mandates, because if there's one thing they can all agree on, it's the fact that vaccine mandates are a very bad thing. You mustn't be ordered to take a vaccine, even if it's the Trump vaccine. But it was an interesting indication of a bit of difficult positioning that he's going to face as we head towards 2024. You know, you've kind of created the monster by mainstreaming all of these fringe figures in the Republican Party, but you've got to be careful about the extent to which you say things that we're going to make them scratch their heads and say, what's this all about? You
know? Yeah, it might be that Trump is not Trump enough for Trump's fans. Simon, I'm going to have to leave it there, but thanks as always. That's cheers, Simon mate. Marks, LBC's US correspondent, speaking to us from Washington, D.C. This is LBC.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Darren Adam.
Operation Save Big Dog includes a televised anus eater shaking a stick at the BBC to distract from the lies of her shambolic boss. Are you convinced?
Darren Adam on LBC.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.